I was pretty clear. But then, I don't know. Meeting. By the way, do you have anyone on the phone?
Delegate Hugo.
Delegate Hugo's on the line. Excellent. Before we do anything else, this being our annual organizational meeting, we do have a public comment period scheduled. Are there any citizens who would like to address the voting? Anyone signed up in the tables? Any citizens want to speak before the hearing? All right, seeing none, we're going to close the public comment hearing. And now, I would like Ms. Thomas-Jones to do the hearing.
Absolutely. Chairman Noe?
Here.
Chair Randall?
Here.
Chairman Bulova?
Here.
Chair Crystal?
Here.
Mayor Wilson?
Here.
Mayor Parrish?
Here.
Mayor Meyer? Councilmember Snyder?
Here.
Mayor Rochelle?
Here.
Senator Blatt? Delegate Hugo?
Here in Richmond.
Mr. Minshew?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Kolb?
Here.
Mayor Wood?
Present.
Ms. Quirbo?
Here.
And Mr. Horsley?
Here.
Chairman, we have quorum.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Before we get into the minutes, I just say welcome. As happens from time to time here, we have a new member I need to introduce. Sometimes I forget to introduce them, so I'm going to get them now. I would like to welcome Justin Wilson, the newly minted mayor of the city of Alexandria. I'd like to mention our newest member. Thank you. Happy to be here. And with that, those parts coming. I also hereby, as chairman, appoint Mr. Wilson to be a member of the finance committee. That's where the action is.
Thank you.
All right. So much fun I put myself on it. Yeah. So okay. Now we have the minutes of the December 13th meeting.
Good move.
Second. Okay, we have a motion to approve. And a second, any discussion or changes? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
That's from Ms. Hines. I'm going to assume discussion. Excellent. Well, that, now that we have the annual report for 2018. Always excited.
So, Chairman Noe, I'm asking Erica Hawksworth, who is your Communications and Public Affairs Manager, to present the 2018 annual report. We have it on flipbook, and you have the hard copies in front of you. Please take as many as you would like home with you. That means take more than the one that's in front of you this evening. This year's annual report really focused on your six-year program, because that was the big accomplishment for the authority for calendar year 2018. But Erica will walk through the annual report, what's captured in the annual report. And because this has been a growing theme of ours, at the very end, and I don't want to steal Erica's thunder, so please don't open it yet, but there is a map that speaks to the annual report and the process to the adoption for the six-year program. Erica?
Thank you, Monica. Good evening, everyone. Happy New Year. So, as Monica said, I'm here to present to you the 2018 annual report. We had two themes in this year's report. One is multimodal transportation, as well as the adoption of our inaugural six-year program, a huge milestone here at the authority. We incorporate the multimodal theme throughout the report, from cover, where you can see all the multimodal icons, and these are the icons that we use on all of our maps, as well as showcasing multimodal in photos and project charts. We have a theme or a tagline this year of moving Northern Virginia forward. It's not only a play on words given what we do, but it's also that we're moving many, many projects, 122 specifically, moving 122 projects forward in the region, and our mandate to relieve congestion in Northern Virginia. So I am going to skip into the front and side cover. And as you can see, there's a nice visual summarization of the economic impact report our CFO, Mike Longhi, presented at the last authority meeting. So I'm not going to talk about this too much since you already heard about it, but we wanted to provide the highlights of the report. You can see the full report posted on our website under the finance reports page, as well as the last authority meeting packet. Then here's your smiling faces on this page. And then I'm skipping here to the table of contents page. I wanted to point out the graphic at the bottom of the page. As I mentioned, one of our themes is multimodal. So we wanted to give a visual breakout of our NVTA funded projects by mode. And after doing a tally, our projects involve 52 bicycle pedestrian projects. This includes both primary and secondary modes. On the next page, we have a letter from our chairman, Noe, and he acknowledges the great accomplishment of the six-year program adoption and the pathway to get there, and thanks all of you for your collaboration. He also talks about four ribbon cuttings we had in 2018, as well as one groundbreaking ceremony, and I'll get into that a little later. We also have the letter from our executive director, Monica Backman, who also acknowledges the accomplishment of the six-year program and the collaboration needed to make what we do here at the Authority a success. I'm going to skip over about the Authority, but it's a summary of what we do, as well as some of the projects that we're funding. So you can see here on page 8, we have a pathway to the inaugural six-year program adoption. We wanted to show this in a timeline, beginning in October 2017, when the Authority adopted the transaction update, NOVA's long-range multimodal plan. It goes all the way through June 2018, when we adopted the program. Here, to the right, you'll see there's a map of all the candidate projects, which there were 60 of them, and I should point out here on the bottom left of the timeline page, we broke out numbers for, and we have a lot of great ones. There were 60 candidate projects reviewed, 1,200 public comments to the authority, 44 adopted projects, and $1.285 billion in funding.
Did we separate out the amount of public comment received from Hillsboro?
Fortunately, no, but I bet we could get you those numbers.
The bond rating agencies don't want to know.
On the next page, after the candidate project page, we have the actual adopted programs map. And to its right, we have a breakout of all the projects, including the modes, jurisdictions, and agencies, and also the NVTA funding. On this page, we wanted to create a graphic of six-year program previously funded projects. And as you can see, there are several of them. And then we also wanted to show that there are two of the 44 adopted projects receiving regional funds for the first time. And those were the Town of Vienna and Nova Parks. On the next page, we have projects funded through the six-year program. And this section talks about the Authority's Finance Committee developing a funding strategy for the six-year program and the committee's $1.285 billion PAYGO funding recommendation to the Authority's Planning and Programming Committee. We also mention a significant feature of the six-year program is a funding strategy to appropriate the approved funding amounts in the first fiscal year the project is projected to expend NVTA funds. Additionally, the funding strategy avoids the use of outside financing and instead relies on the authority's strong balance sheet to advance projects. It also, the outside financing would have entailed interest costs of approximately $194 million, and this funding strategy permits this $194 million to be saved and programmed into future projects instead of interest payments to bondholders. Going to page 14. You can see that we also created a six-year program multimodal project spotlight. And this section features a project from each jurisdiction, as well as the funding provided, and a short summary of each of those projects. Next, I'm skipping to the fiscal year 2019-2023 revenue estimates. As you know, pursuant to House Bill 1539, adopted in 2018 by the General Assembly, the grantors and transient occupancy taxes provided previously in House Bill 2313 are no longer available to the authority. So we wanted to show this visually. The original and revised NBTA revenue and distribution estimates for FY 2019 through 2023 are provided in the tables that you see on the left. On the right, we have pie charts to show revenue estimates broken down by tax type, as well as estimated revenue allocation, both original and revised. I'm going to skip forward a few pages. If you all have any questions after you review this, please feel free to contact me. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. But this next section talks about regional and local revenue distribution and shows some maps of previously funded projects in the 2014-2017 regional transportation programs, local distribution funds, and additional funding responsibilities. So I'm skipping to the NBTA events and celebrations page. And we do have a lot to celebrate in 2018. As I mentioned earlier, we had four ribbon cuttings this year. Those included the expanded Van Buren Bridge in the city of Falls Church, which is right here. I'm using the mouse. We also had the multimodal improvements at Route 7 Dulles Toll Road in Fairfax County, which is down here. We had the Route 606 reconstruction and widening in Loudoun County at the top right page. And then we had, most recently in December, the Belmont Ridge widening in Loudoun County at the bottom right. We also had one groundbreaking this year in the town of Hillsboro, and that was for the Route 9 traffic calming project. And that was complete with fireworks. Then we also wanted to celebrate various events the authority was involved in this year. One of those was the Amazon HQ2 live announcement. We had the Regional Chambers Northern Virginia Elected Leader Summit honor several of our authority members. So congratulations again. We had our third annual Northern Virginia Roundtable discussion on transportation. And the topic this year focused on self-driving cars and other technologies in transportation. And of course, last but not least, we celebrated the adoption of our six-year program on June 14th. Next page, we have strategies for the future. And this section really focuses on the strategic five-year program. And we wanted to expand upon our accomplishments and goals in year one. Monica Backman will be getting into this after me, and will provide the details. But the goals of this plan are regional prosperity, mobility, innovation, and funding. We'd also like to thank each of our member localities, dedicated staff, committee members, their staff, everyone involved, regional partners, stakeholders. You all are essential in helping the authority be successful. So thank you. And this section also highlights who's on each committee. On the last page, we just wanted to provide a special acknowledgement, again, thanking all the jurisdictions and agency partners who helped contribute to this report. We really can't do what we do without you. We also, on a sadder note, would like to remember Jeff Davidson, who was an essential member of the authority's Planning Coordination and Advisory Committee. Also, Doug Fall, a dedicated member of the authority's Technical Advisory Committee. They were good friends to the authority, and they are dearly missed. Then lastly, on the inside back cover of the report as Monica teased. We have the fold-out map of our six-year adopted program. So you can see this nice visual layout of where all of our projects lie in the region. And you can see they're marked by primary mode. On the flip side, we have a visual of the path to the six-year inaugural plan, for those of you who can't see. We have a nice visual of the pathway to adoption. We do have a lot of these standalone maps, so as you speak to people and want to give them out, I'm happy to give you some copies. It really is a nice way to show all the multimodal work we're doing throughout the region.
And to piggyback off of what Erica said, we like to do the maps because the maps really show the geographic balance and the modal distribution regarding the funding of the authority's project. And we are multimodal, and we try to make sure that our projects are spread throughout the region because, as we know, there's no one mode and no particular locality that really will help reduce congestion in our region. It takes multiple modes working together on our transportation network as a whole.
It really
well, it could be multi-purpose.
I was thinking, you know, get a traffic jam,
lose a car. That's a great idea this time. We could
really
make an app.
Could be the bicycle. Someone could be the bus. So that's the annual report. If you have any questions, like I said, feel free to contact me. And again, thank you for all your hard work this year and giving me the opportunity to speak. We look forward to the coming year, and cheers to a fabulous 2019. Thank you.
Any questions for staff about the report?
Yep. I just think it's great. I want to thank the staff for the work that they put in. And I think particularly for future use and speaking about the finance and that page with the different plot charts, it's very effectively demonstrates that particular issue. So very nicely done. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think I want to piggyback on that. I think it's fantastic. It's colorful. It doesn't have too many words. Well, I mean, sometimes things can be just densely word packed. I have a very vapid question, which is, when's the next picture going to be taken? Because I feel like I've not ready for pictures before.
I'm wearing Mr. Longy's shirt and
top. I just want to make sure that the next one we all for war, that's all. No, this one's okay. The year before was not good.
I echo Phyllis' concern. I was not feeling well that night.
In advance.
We will have a glam squad on hand.
And if Mayor Yule were here, which he's not, there's a question he would ask, so I'll just go and answer it. Yes, my picture appears in the report 8 times. Mr. Yule used to sit here and count. 12 times, though? It's a lot. A little bit of tears.
You only made twice. You're a garbage. It is now dangerous. We're wearing the county picture.
Just go. Thank you, Seth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Exactly. Tell us about our 5-year
strategic plan. So, Mr. Chairman, because I'm having problems with my ears tonight, I will be brief. But I did want to go over the progress report on where we are with your 5-year strategic plan. As you may be reminded, you adopted this 5-year strategic plan in November of 2017, and that was after roughly a year of we had work sessions with the authority, we had work sessions with staff, and we wanted to narrow down and get some focus on the top five, or I should say the top goals, top four goals that the authority had over 5 years. We felt that 5 years was a nice amount of time to undertake and see where we are regarding progress. So having said that, your four goals, just as a brief reminder, regional prosperity, mobility, innovation, and funding. And we had action strategies designed around each of the four goals. So getting to the first goal, and this was mailed out and it's also in your packet. And like I said, I won't go over everything. I just will want to note how we're moving the mark. You will see on some areas that it says no activity to report. It doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. It just means that we are not at a place that we want to report out just yet. Given that a lot of this is resource constrained, and we did do the strategic plan last year. I can't believe I'm saying last year, but the six-year program we did last year, we were a little resource constrained, but we are advancing these initiatives. So for regional prosperity, we're meeting with chambers, the business community, but the big thing we did was conduct the economic analysis using Chimera that really shows the impacts of the MBTA-funded project. We will continue to meet with the chambers and the business communities and things of that nature, but the message regarding the regional prosperity is, while our focus is congestion relief relative to cost, because that's what's mandated in the law, we will not lose sight of the fact that there is an economic side to the project and the investments that the authority makes in the Commonwealth. Moving to the second goal for mobility, we have two strategies, multimodal regional transportation planning and programming, and advocacy/education. So we're undertaking a lot of this now. It was always a goal to try to secure the ability to undertake 599 in-house. VDOT has been a great partner in working with us in doing that. We were actually able to incorporate HB 599 into the transaction plan, which was extremely helpful because it gave us the ability to undertake the 599 evaluation on all 352 projects that are in transaction. We did submit a smart scale application, the Regional Multimodal Mobility Program, looking at technologies and things like that, so what we could do in the short term and the longer term regarding technology and innovation. And I guess we'll find out, quote unquote, officially, the status of our application next week. Lastly, I want to note that I established a Transportation and Technology Committee, which Councilmember Snyder has agreed to chair. One thing I'll note, technology is here. We want to be in front of it and not playing catch up. Secretary Valentine has three initiatives, and innovation is the one she's always talking about. We want to make sure that the authority is at the table, and we are a force regarding looking at technologies, because one thing in our very high level assessment that we did in transaction, we just did some scenario analyses, and they were really bookends. What if everyone in the region teleworked, or was everyone used driverless cars or things of that nature? But one thing that it showed us is that some of the projects may not be needed. So what we want to do is make sure that we are proactive regarding technology. And that gets to innovation as well. Some of the same things that we've done, smart scale application for the region. And we hosted our third annual ITS roundtable. This event grows every year. Mr. Cole came to last year's event. So thank you, Mr. Cole. I think Ms. Hines was there as well. So we'll be hosting our fourth annual ITS roundtable event. We have industry leaders. We have Virginia Tech. We had Audi, Uber, Lyft, Supervisor Faust was a part of the panel last year, looking at innovative and disruptive technologies. If you are so inclined to attend, it's right here in this room, March 13th. And if some of you should probably know or receive, I should say, we have an e-blast that's driven by innovation. That's our technology e-blast. Well, we're keeping everyone abreast of what's going on technology-wise in the industry. Moving to funding. Funding is always a fun topic. The authority had three strategies when it came to funding: transparency, stewardship, and accountability. Regional coordination, and advocacy and education. So regarding transparency, stewardship, and accountability, again, we produced definitive financial impact assessments on the proposed WMATA funding legislation. Now it seems like a lifetime ago, but I could tell you during last year's session, it seemed like weekly Mike and the finance team, they were updating the numbers. They were solid numbers. We wanted to let you know where the authority stood on the 70% and the 30%. We had enhanced financial statement presentations to show the link between the authority's balance sheet and the large number of projects adopted by the authority. I know oftentimes people think, oh, the authority has all of this money. This is not free money. The money is assigned to projects. So we just don't have free money sitting around. I get questions about that. Hey, well, if I have another project, we don't have other money sitting around. All of our funds are assigned to projects. We developed and hosted a regional workshop regarding our standard project agreements. We understand that oftentimes locality and agency staff, there are turnover, there are changes. So we want to work with everyone, showing them how to complete the standard project agreements. That is very important. The SPA is a legal document, and while your project is adopted in our funding programs, we cannot even consider administering or reimbursement, I should say, of any funds until we have an executed standard project agreement. So, and again, the authority's finance committee, the finance funding strategy that you guys did for the six-year program really was the pathway in helping us get to a recommendation for the projects to adopt. So that's just the overall check-in, a one-year progress report on where we are with the five-year strategic plan. Again, we're making sure we're meeting the targets and exceeding the targets in-house, and we look forward to updating you again next year.
Any questions, Ms.
Beckman? I appreciate it because I probably can't hear your questions too well anymore.
Right. Next time we have three consent agenda items. All of them are standard project agreement rules.
Second.
Motion Mr. Parrish, second Ms. Goldberg. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. All right. Next is legislative program. Mr. Bain.
Okay, so the General Assembly went into session yesterday, and the governor of the State of the Commonwealth yesterday. And I was listening very closely to find out his line of people to restore all money to the Virginia Trace Authority. That line did not come to my shock. but we do have just a few things that Tracy's going to update us on as far as what did happen, or we did on the way to General Assembly. It's only been investigated days. Right. Not what has happened yet. So, and then we will do a closed session. We won't do a closed session after we finish your report.
So real quickly, Happy New Year. Hello, everyone. Good to be with you again. Just three quick updates. As you know, the Monica mentioned earlier, we're looking to transfer the 599 responsibilities so that Helen and her crew have something else to do with their life of their time over to us. And that bill has been introduced. It is Senate Bill 1468. It is carried by our authority member, Senator Black, and it has been referred to the Senate Transportation Committee. So we'll keep apprised of that. And so a second thing I want to remember, as you remember, the Wayfair decision came down, and the state is going to start collecting sales tax from remote sales, but there's a little bit of legislation that has to be adopted first, and there are seven bills that have been introduced to do that. That will provide some additional money to the authority because of our funding tool of the sales tax. And the third thing I want to bring up with you all is that the authority has been asked to speak to the Northern Virginia delegation. That will happen on January 21st, Monday. They meet at Mondays at 5:00, and I'm gonna stop there. There's a lot of bills yet to come in. Deadline for bills to be introduced is next Friday. Members have until sometime tomorrow to submit any proposed amendments to the budget. So I'll have a lot more information for you in the next couple of weeks as things actually show up.
So deadlines for the budget is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes, ma'am.
For the bills is
next Friday.
Which Wednesday? Isn't there something
else? No, the first meeting of the Senate Transportation Committee is next Wednesday. Our bill may come up. We just don't know yet.
Okay.
There's one bill that I know is going to impact a lot of the roads that I know a lot of people don't look at as impacting roads, but it's that coal ash bill that the governor wants to introduce. He doesn't want a cap in place. He wants to actually have it removed. And the Possum Point is through the town of Dumfries, the Possum Point plant. That road right now is not of the capacity for the trucks that go down there now. And so the amount of trucks that Dominion will have to bring on that road to actually bring that coal ash up and dig it out is going to impact. So if they're putting the coal ash, there has to be funding in that bill. I don't care what they do with the coal ash, but that road needs to come up to some type of standard for all of them trucks to be coming, moving, all that, or any type of traffic whatsoever. So it needs to be some funding from the governor in his coal ash bill.
I've not seen that bill yet. It's early days. There are a lot of bills that haven't been introduced yet.
You might want to put that on tracking.
I can put us on our tracking list.
They've been talking about that road since 78.
The challenge is for 60 years, Dominion brought coal into the plant by rail.
Now they're going to take the ash out instead of taking it out by truck.
I'd like
them to
take it out
and
take transfer it
on rail. I mean, I'm staying with you on that. Yeah. But if they're going to put a bill on the table, the governor's put the bill on coal ash, then our roads need to be addressed.
Okay. So when it shows up, we'll put it on the tracking chart and we can follow it.
Any questions about legislators? Okay. So, go ahead. So what I think we're going to do is this. We'll talk a little bit about meetings over the next few months. If something comes, you know, we're not scheduled for another meeting until a month from now, which for reasons we'll discuss in a few minutes, may not happen. So if an issue comes up that requires, you know, unexpectedly, that requires immediate attention to the legislative program, Chair Randall will call a emergency GPC meeting if necessary to deal with that. But hopefully we'll have a nice, smooth session this year. I feel like we deserve it.
Well, you know, maybe we should say that, Ms. Boehner, is that the discussion about whether or not, seriously, there will be any money, to address whether any funds will be returned to the authorities. Ms. Valentine, Secretary of Transportation Valentine, has said that discussion will not happen until 2020, until next year, right?
That is correct.
So although there was a bill put in by Delegate Watts, House Bill 2085, that addresses that, it's kind of a bill that holds in place in case discussion happens. But it's not a bill that has a companion bill in the Senate, and it doesn't look like it's going to really be pushed or discussed in any robust way, and Ms. Valentine has been pretty clear that she's looking at doing something next year, not this year. That's correct?
That is correct.
That is unfortunate, but at least we know where we stand right now.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing that I would like to say is that we do have a groundbreaking coming up for the Omni-Wide Western Maintenance Facility, which is on Tuesday. Is that a Tuesday?
It is Wednesday.
Thank you. I know the date, but I can't, not the day. January 23rd at 11 a.m. There's a groundbreaking for the Omni-Ride Western Maintenance Facility. And we also have an event for Falls Church regarding their North Back Intersection project. That is actually a ribbon cutting project.
Yes,
Fairfax. Thank you.
Don't
turn
to your
trunks. You can't remember. I know. Thank you. And that is all I had, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, the I had was, Ms. Backman and I were talking about this today, as was announced in last month's meeting when we got the calendar, since we're not doing an updated transaction this year and we're not updating the 6-year plan until early next year, the next few months aren't jam-packed with business. Tell me if I'm wrong, Ms. Backman. Right now, we don't have any action items scheduled. We have presentations, but no action items scheduled for either March or April meeting. I'm not ready to predict that there will be something we need to meet about those months, but I think there is a possibility that we will cancel one or the other, or maybe even both meetings. I learned from Mr. Zimmerman years ago, you can do presentations over the internet. If there's nothing to vote on, don't make people take the night away from their family. So, is that? I wasn't going to say that part out loud, but those of us on the ballot can use the time well. We have to be night off. So just be mindful of that. But again, we'll track the list. The thing that might cause to be a legislative action, probably. The one thing I would say about that, and again, coming from Rollins, is that, and maybe ask the RJAC to send this out, if there is a jurisdiction who can't wait until May to get their SPAs approved,
So we have two SPAs that were a part of SPAs that were a part of the FY19 appropriations. One, I think, may be withdrawn, so then we have one that will probably come forward. We will work with that locality to get that in so to ensure that there is no issue. The other is always the CMAQ and RSTP transfers, but for those we can get consensus, but the SPAs we would need to meet because those are legal documents.
So, if you have SPAs, we can get it in by February. That's a great solution. We may have a meeting in those other months. If we have a gap, some people are stressed about it. So that's all I have. The last item is a closed session to discuss the executive director's annual performance.
Right. I will revisit the closed session.
Oh yeah, I guess I should say, does anyone have any other business to come before the authority?
Just a thought, unless Mr. Longy tells me otherwise, we will have a finance committee meeting, Mayor Wilson, on the 21st of February at 1 o'clock.
And it'll be shared with everyone, and I will be doing a tracking chart for everyone as we did last year. Both the bills that we just are going to monitor, but more importantly, bills that have positive or negative impact on us.
So before I have a motion to close session, pretty much everyone in the room, except the authority members, we're going to need to leave for a closed session. What I was going to say is that there's not going to be any other items that come up. We're going to come out of closed session, take action on the annual review, and then adjourn. So if staff is here, you're welcome to stay hanging out in Longy, but go home and
you're supposed to have a public hearing at 7 o'clock.
Yes, and you called it twice, actually.
I was in the room. Okay.
So do we have a motion for the session?
You okay?